David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need anything else. He makes me to lie down in lush green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." I wonder if words similar to that were in Jesus' own mind when, after a very, very busy day, he also took some time early in the day, Mark tells us, to go out to the mountains by himself to pray. I actually love the fact that Jesus went to the mountains. That's where I find I go often when I need to be away from everything and everybody. In the parallel passage to the Mark 1:35, Matthew says, "And he was alone by himself," and reiterates that phrase, alone by himself in the mountain to pray, just him and his Father. Well, I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe you've noticed the world has become very, very noisy. At least it feels like that to me. It feels like it's non-stop chaos and clutter of noise. The 24/7 news cycle is noisy. Politics and the plague are ubiquitous and relentless. At every turn, we're told how it's getting better or how much worse it is. Technology has made noise in my life and yours a constant companion. You know, our culture insists on us always having some noise-making device close by. And we can't, we're told, survive well without it. I'm amazed at how many people I see, and maybe you all don't, maybe you don't suffer with this, but I'm amazed at how many people I see wherever I go who have earbuds in. Have you noticed that? Everybody's got earbuds. Everybody but us. But I'm grateful, actually, that I don't have to listen to everything that they're listening to. I'm sort of appreciate the fact that they're keeping it to themselves. But I can't help but wonder what it is that they're listening to and why it has to be there all the time. Now, it is true, I'm going to confess, and occasionally you might see me at the grocery store or someplace and I got my Bluetooth in, I got my earbud in, but it's probably not because I'm listening to anything, it's probably because I just don't want to talk to anybody, and this is a good way to have an excuse. You know, people think I'm busy. The fact of the matter is, our culture doesn't really value quiet. It doesn't really value the inclination to reflection. We are quick to talk and to keep on talking. That's just our nature. That's where we live in the world. Our culture stridently, actively mocks the contemplative and exalts the busy and the driven and stridently resists turning off the TV, turning off the phones, turning off all the devices. In fact, every time I see an advertisement for a new phone, and it says, and you can connect to all your other devices. First of all, I don't have a lot of other devices, and I wonder what those are too. But somebody's telling me I got to be connected in every room, everywhere I go, no matter what I'm doing, connected to my devices. Always making noise. Always noise present. And, well, there may be a reason for that. Sometimes I think for a lot of people, listening to their own thoughts might be a scary thing. Possibly we fear silence because we have to face ourselves and we have to face our thoughts and our dark places and our fears and our worries and our griefs and the negative messages that we are continually hearing. But therein lies the problem. Just more noise doesn't really help all of that. The noise of our world doesn't really satisfy our deepest hungering. It doesn't solve our deepest longings. It doesn't address our deepest fears. Most of the noise in the world does not lead us to hope-filled actions. Mostly it just takes up space. So it's no wonder that for a lot of people, and you hear it everywhere, a lot of people are edgy and anxious and fearful and overwhelmed, or just sick and sad and tired. And I wonder, well, no wonder, it's because of all the stuff we're hearing all the time. The input is overwhelming. But we probably should look a little further beyond just the cultural inclination to noise. Probably we should consider the fact that maybe all the noise and the silence avoiding is a spiritual issue as well. All the great religions have made room for meditation of some kind. If you look at any of the religions of the world, there's a place for meditation, contemplation. The great thing is, for most of us, we've figured out how to avoid most of that stuff. I mean, I have visited a lot of churches over the last few years since it came clear that it was time for me to let White Rock Baptist Church move on and to have other leadership, new, young, fresh, somebody with a new energy and vision. Well, since that time, as I've probably shared with you, I've visited churches, and I have just been as far as I can go on a Sunday morning here in northern New Mexico visiting churches. And I will have to say to you, please pardon me for saying this, I hope it's not offensive, but most churches are heavy on noise and light on silence. I mean, the worship leader gets up and says, "Let's worship," and then the band starts. Now, it may be a good band, it may be not such a good band, but the band starts, and with vigor, and with enthusiasm. Okay, that's all good, because the intent is great. But you know, sometimes they think, ooh, we could probably have done without that. But then somebody else gets up and says, okay, let's pray, and then they start talking, and then talking and talking, and then somebody else decides to talk, and admittedly, it's hard to orchestrate corporate silence, which is why we often don't try. It's just a hard thing to do. But, I mean, the noise is not all bad, right? Praise, celebration, worship, sometimes those take on great enthusiastic forms. It's just that we manage to fill all the gaps. Now I'm going to make a confession to you. Probably make a couple of confessions this morning. I used to have all the time in my former life what I called my church dream. About every 4 or 5 or 6 weeks, I would have a nightmare. And usually it was on Saturday night before Sunday morning. And I would dream that I came to church and I was 30 minutes late. I didn't have my notes. I was usually half-dressed. People were milling about and something awful was happening. And I had that dream recurrently. I'm sure spoke to my great insecurities and fears always about messing things up. But I had one of those dreams last night. Was that because I was thinking about being here with you guys? Actually, it was a youth camp dream. Yes, I was with a bunch of kids, which I used to do a lot of, and I was with a bunch of kids, and we were at camp, and I was trying to organize the worship and the study, and these kids were totally out of control, and it was just noise. And I had said to them, because I used to do this with youth, okay, here's a basket, put your phones in here as you come in, total rebellion. Kids hate to do that, because actually, without their phones, they don't feel complete and whole. Well, a lot of us maybe are that way. But this was my nightmare just last night. And when I woke up, my very first words out of my mouth verbally, usually it's "Good morning, Lord, I'm glad to see you." This morning it was, "Man, I hate youth camp." But that was just my first thought, because this is what I had just experienced only moments before. Okay. The fact of the matter is, noise isn't all bad. And when you get kids together, it's going to be noisy. But worship styles in general across many churches reflect nonstop noise. We just fly from one part to the next. There's no time to worship or reflect, I should say. It's just worship on the fly. We just got to make it happen. In fact, somebody said that to me one time when I visited a church and said, "So what are we... how do we approach this morning service? How do you guys do that?" And this person looked at me and said, "Well, we just worship." And I thought, okay, well, let's do that. And let's see how that works. I mean, I don't know what that means. Sometimes, and you already know this, sometimes preachers say too much and don't know when to stop talking. I'll just leave that right there. Much contemporary Christian music is just noisy. It's just insistent and often monotonous. And now that's kind of a personal opinion, but sometimes a lot of contemporary Christian music just is designed to fill in a space. Churches in general tend to be kind of noisy, right? I mean, we are filled with chatter about what to do and how to do it and how to pay for it and what the next thing is and what's on the schedule. And more than a few prayer services, I've seen this, you probably have too, just devolve into a list of telling God what he needs to do to fix things. And what I believe is an unholy merging of faith and politics in our day is also particularly noisy and relentless and not helpful. I won't say any more about that, but I will say this. C.S. Lewis had some insight into this business. You're familiar with his book, Screwtape Letters. It's really Satan, the devil, talking to the apprentice, Wormwood, and the devil is telling Wormwood, the apprentice devil, how he's going to make things happen for his sake, for his purposes in the world. And the devil says this, "I detest silence. Hell is going to be filled with furious noise, the audible expression of all that is exultant and ruthless and virile. We will make the whole universe a noise. We've already made great strides in this direction as regards the earth. The melodies and silences of heaven will be shouted down in the end." Ooh, you know, sometimes I fear that we shout down the silences and the melodies of heaven with all the noise we make as Christians. It's a funny thing, isn't it? We talk to God. We beg God to talk to us. We beg Him to talk to us. And then we turn on Christian radio and listen to Christian music. And then we turn on the podcast and we listen to famous preachers and teachers and well-intentioned folks out there who are telling us all kinds of things, filling all the spaces, making all the noise. And I think, okay, that's not all bad. Sometimes God can get through to us through those means. But when do we stop and just say, God, I just need to hear from You. I need to hear from You. I need to be quiet. I need that gentle breeze caressing my face and speaking to me right to the core of where I am. How do we ever get the world out of our head long enough so God can get in a word? Well, let's reflect just for a moment on these biblical texts that give us some insight. I'm going to have to confess, I don't really like David, King David, a whole lot. I just don't. I've just been reading back through 2 Samuel, and I thought, oh, gosh, I don't like this guy. But it's okay. He wrote a lot of stuff, and what we read it has value. I wonder how David found time to be quiet. But listen to some of the things that he says. In Psalm 4, verse 4, David writes, "Tremble." In the language in which he wrote that meant tremble with anger or with fear, but don't sin. In other words, don't let it control you. Instead, meditate or speak in your heart upon your bed and be still. Psalm 62, verse 1, David writes this, "My soul waits in silence for God only. From Him is my salvation." Again in verse 5, "My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is in Him." Psalm 63, David writes, "Oh God, I remember You on my bed. I meditate on You in the night watches." And then I need to read to you Psalm 119. In fact, if you have your Bible, turn to that as well. Psalm 119. Four or five places, David says, "I'm just going to meditate. I'm just," in this very long psalm, he says in several places, "I'm just going to be quiet and meditate." Psalm 119, verse 15, he says, "I will meditate. I will be quiet and reflect on Your precepts and regard Your ways." Then a few verses later, verse 27, "Make me understand Your ways, so I will meditate on Your wonders." Verse 48, "I lift up my hands to Your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on Your statutes." And then listen to this, verse 145, "I cried," and this may sound familiar. Maybe you've been here. I feel like I have. "I cried with all my heart, 'Answer me, O Lord. I will observe Your statutes. I cry to You, save me, and I shall keep Your testimonies. I rise before dawn, and I cry for help. I wait for Your words. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate in Your word." David did get it. He realized the importance of those moments. Then, of course, that psalm that we just reflected on just a moment ago, the one we all know have heard 1,000 times, Psalm 23. "He leads me beside the still, quiet waters." Jesus, too, knew full well the importance of silence in the early morning while it was still dark. Mark tells us He got up and left the house and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. In Mark 6, just a few pages past that, after again another very busy, busy day, a day filled with a lot of people, a lot of sick people, a lot of insistent people, urgent people, Jesus sends the guys away and then he bids them farewell. Then he leaves for the mountain to pray by himself. He was there alone. The challenge is that silence doesn't sell very well in our day. It's not big on the market. The discipline of silence is not very exciting. It's not flashy. It's not, you can't sell very many books about silence. Who wants to read about that? It's not an explosive church growth technique. Who wants to talk about silence as a way to encourage people to come to church and to grow? You won't hear many sermons on silence, certainly not in the mega church preachers, because it's hard work. It is work. It's a very personal search and requires discipline. We call silence, in fact, a spiritual discipline. And the time that we all bemoan that we don't have is necessary for this kind of thing. But here's the good news. There's not a shortage on silence if you want it. The plague, and by the way, that's what I call the pandemic. It's my personal little rebellion. I call it the plague. It sounds more biblical. Plus, it's just another way of saying what we're having to face. The plague hasn't diminished the supply of silence. Silence doesn't cost very much. In fact, it's free. If you seek it, you don't have to face long delays for delivery. Here's the point. You and I, in these days, find that it is absolutely essential for us to listen for the sound of God's whisper. That we've got to get through all the cacophony of noise that inundates us and let him minister to us in the silence. You and I need to decide, and this is a challenge. That sounded more like a command, didn't it? It's a challenge. You and I have to decide that we need to make time to be quiet and listen. Any time of day or night, sometime along the way, we've got to carve out time. There's no formula for when. And we're not monks. We don't live in the cloister. We live in the everyday world. We understand the challenge of bringing any vestige of listening quiet into our lives, already consumed by the cares of the world. We understand that. But we also understand the real need to do so. Because we do find ourselves overwhelmed, sometimes frustrated, often upset with the way the world comes at us with all the awful stuff. Well, how do you start? How do you start doing that, carving some time out? You know, I don't know. I don't know what works for you, I should say. I just know that you and I should. We have to in these days as Christians who profess to have a relationship with a living, creating, powerful, personal, purposeful God that we can't see, and who doesn't speak audibly with words, not very often. Occasionally, if we listen really carefully, he might. I'm still kind of waiting for him to say sentences to me. Usually it's just words, or a word, if I get anything at all. Most of the time it's just like, hey, just be quiet. He says to me, just be quiet, would ya? I can tell you, if you will allow, I can tell you a personal story of where after decades of trying to do a quiet time, what we call a quiet time, we've used that phrase. That means we read our Bible and we pray. Most of the years when I try to do a quiet time, it's not really very quiet because I do read and then I just got this craziness going on in my brain of all the things I got to do today, right? All the things that are just pounding away and insisting that they got to be at this and that. Well, I'll tell you, if I may, I'll tell you a quick story. Early one morning, not too long ago, it was still semi-dark, just before dawn. I already had my coffee in my hand, because the day probably ain't going to happen unless that's in place. But I'm right there, and I'm propped up in bed. And I got my Bible, and it's right there, and it's urging me to get up and start my reading plan, because I follow a reading plan that takes me through the whole Bible. And then I got this list of things that I need to tell God to do for me, right? I got that list, because we all do, and we all pray about all the people we care about, and then we pray about all the other stuff that comes to our mind. And generally, to tell you the truth, when I have my, quote, quiet time, I have to fight the internal noise. I have to resist all the diversions. You know what I really want to do? Don't give me too much grief for this. I want to pick up my phone. You know why? There may be messages that I need to answer. And if I don't keep my phone far away, I'm just like, don't pick up the phone. But that morning, I hesitated from all of that. My heart was heavy. I felt like I needed something, and I just waited. And then, as I just sat there, really not sure, just holding my coffee, just sitting there, a song came to my mind. And I would like to say, no, I don't want to like to say, I will say the song came to me out of nowhere. I'm not really sure it was out of nowhere. But it was a song from my kids when they were in youth group. It was the song by Mercy Me. You may know that group. Over 20-some years ago, when my kids were in the youth group and I used to take them to youth camp, and I used to do all the stuff and did all the retreats and we sang these songs, I used to think this song was a little bit sappy, like a lot of music kids sing at camp. But then I started just humming this song that came to my mind and then singing the words that I could remember. And the words go like this. When I cannot feel, when my wounds won't heal, Lord, I humbly kneel, hidden in you. 'Cause I could just sit with you a while. You could just hold me. Nothing could touch me, though I'm wounded, though I've died. If I could just sit with you a while, I need you to hold me, moment by moment, till forever passes by. And I'm going to tell you, when I came to those words, in fact, I might start right now. When I came to those words, if I could just sit with you a while, tears just started flowing because I realized that's exactly what I wanted. And I have this book, and I've been a student of this book for a half a century. And I have all the other stuff that we do, and we do, and I thought, I'm just going to leave this here for a moment because I just need to sit with him for a while. And what I really wanted to do was just sit there with Jesus in real time. With Jesus in real time. And soon after I composed myself, and actually I didn't because I think I just kept crying for a while, I envisioned him sitting right there, just a few feet away, listening. And I told him I knew he was the king, and that he and I didn't want to be disrespectful for him sitting right there beside me. I also told him I knew he was probably pretty busy. He probably didn't have time for me. But I also told him that after years of seminary and years of being a pastor and years of preaching and teaching about him, maybe I know a lot about him, but maybe I don't know him all that well. And you know what? He sat there and listened. And I mean it all the stuff just poured out. I was grateful, in fact, for his silence in that moment because I had a lot of stuff to pour out. And then after a while, I stopped, and I listened. There were no audible words. I was kind of waiting for, you know, some message. But I just stopped, and there was silence. But I knew he was there. And you know what? Every day since then, I can hardly wait to get my coffee early in the morning, just before dawn, and sit there and say, good morning. Can we just talk? I'll listen. I tell you what, I'll just be quiet and you talk. There's no magic formula to that. If it's going to be in the morning, I got to make sure I don't stay up late because I'm going to want to sleep in, then I'll miss my time with him. And you know what? I don't want that. I have to breathe deeply. I do have to breathe and relax my brain. And then I have to get this quiet. You know, my thoughts are like rowdy fifth graders. They're continually barging in wanting a snack and begging permission to do something that they shouldn't. That's like my thoughts. So I do have to read the Bible, just a few verses, just to kind of get all that gone and get focused there. I have to avoid that phone at all costs and convince myself that all the stuff I got to do can wait. Because none of it is more important than just a few minutes with him. I hear the scripture. I feel it in my own soul. I trust that maybe you can resonate somewhat with this as well. That you and I, in these days of a very busy, tumultuous, demanding life, and a world that crashes in on us relentlessly, we got to make time to sit still and just listen for his voice. When we come to worship him and we come here, we do what we do. When we worship him in our quiet moments, we do what we do, but we got to give God a chance to minister to us in the whisper. And that's always when Psalm 51 comes to my mind. And I've prayed it so many times that it's kind of lodged in here. And I say to him, okay, I want to listen. So, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Please don't cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me, but rather restore the joy of my salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. And I will come before you not with sacrifices, but with a broken and contrite spirit. And God, you do with me what you want and say to me what you want. You accomplish what you want in me. Father, instill in each of us a desire to walk more closely, to listen more carefully, to say a little less, to be open to you. And we will not cease to give you thanks for the way that you will speak to us. And this we pray in Jesus' name.